There is joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. June already, 6 months since we've suspended our part-by-part study of the Mass. Last January, we did the 42nd Psalm, the Judicame, the prayers at the foot of the altar, to God who gives joy to my youth. And today is an excellent day to pray the Confiteor, this Sacred Heart Sunday. I mean the means by which we may repent and give joy to the angels of God. I confess, Confiteor. To whom? Well, in the first place, to Almighty God, who is, says St. Therese, the little flower, compassionate love, who loves us not just in spite of our wretchedness and our nothingness, but precisely because we're miserable and ungrateful, and there's nothing in our bank account to speak of. To whom are we confessing? To our Lord. Once, St. Therese was asked, but isn't our Lord discontent, unhappy with you for your imperfections and your sins? Don't worry about it. This is very St. Therese, she says. Don't worry about it. You see, our Lord is perfect, and yet he is both blind and he's hopeless at math. This alone would have to make you love our Lord. If he could see, if he could calculate our innumerable sins, he would wipe us out. But no, he is compassionate love, the Father of mercies. So, if you hesitate to confess, remember, he's, well, of course, the Mexicans have a devotion for it, and this devotion is called El Niño Cieguecito, which means the little baby, who's the little blind infant Jesus in Puebla. And the miraculous statue, of course, little, has our Lord's eyes bleeding. In the 17th century, the story is there was a miracle of a conversion, either of a heretic or of a very great thief. He's blind. And, as I say, he's no good at arithmetic. But still, confess, admit to being wholly worthless, and not holy at all. Pride gets in the way. So, Father, because he's the Father, that's his job. Father says, I'll go first. It is hard to humble yourself. And to humble yourself before others, to say, I've been in the wrong, not me. Me, apologize, repentance, retraction, admit my guilt, but that you may have the example, the priest goes first for the Confiteor. I confess that I have sinned exceedingly. Believe me, it's not hard. The priest sees himself out of the corner of his eye, all got up in garments of holiness, standing before the altar, and he sees his sins just since his last Mass. What business do I have ascending the altar of God, summoning God down from heaven into my hands in sacrifice? And so he accuses himself in the sight of heaven and of earth. I've let you down, the priest says, to God and to his mother, and to the angels, and to the saints. to everybody in general, and nobody in particular. And then he turns to the servers to say, pray for me. And the servers get that sort of a panicky look servers get on the altar sometimes, so much as if to say, who, me? And then they blurt out, well, I'm just as bad as you are. It's sort of an open confession that goes on up there at the foot of the altar. Only we don't realize it. But this is the time to lay our cards on the table. And as they say, to fess up. Now, if you're following the Mass, and I presume you are because you're here for that purpose, don't think that these ancient preparation prayers are a private affair of the priest, and that it would be more tactful to pretend you don't notice. Like, for example, if you accidentally overhear someone confessing his sins there in the confessional, that list of sins you happen to hear, and then you think, well, it's about time. No, you see, it's your sins he's confessing as much as his own. The great burden of our unworthiness, of our sinfulness. What have I done since last Sunday for God? What have I done since last Sunday to my neighbor? The low level of spirituality of most Catholics is making us always spiteful or greedy or slothful or dirty. We're a rotten crowd, all of us. So don't leave the priest to do the cleanup all on his own. Don't be one of those Catholics who disappear as soon as something needs to be done around here. Must the priest be the only one to humble himself? No, we're all offering the sacrifice only in different ways, and we all need to be purified. Oh, and don't be late rushing into church as the confiteor is going on and you're finding a pew in your place in your prayer book. No. No priest wants to hear the tap, tap, tap of little feet behind him when he's bent over on that business at the foot of the altar, beating his breast. You know, Padre Pio, they say, used to beat his breast very hard so that it hurt. And St. Jerome did so with a rock in the palm of his hand. Why do we do that? Why do we beat our breast? Well, it's scriptural. The publican does that in the gospel. Why, it's symbolic. It stands for breaking your own heart, because contrition, which is symbolized by the beating of the breast, comes from the Latin word conterere, which means to break. Break, oh break, oh heart of mine. I have broken our Savior's heart when I broke so cavalierly his commandments. So we say the three times, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Three times for thought and word and deed. Three times for contrition's sake. Great and greater and greatest. After God, to whom do we confess? To everybody. I know an older gentleman who sometimes gets a little loud in the confessional, and he told me once, well, he doesn't mind if they overhear him, because after all, on the last day, they'll hear all about it anyway. That's worth thinking about some days. So I confess, after I confess to Almighty God, I confess to the saints. Why do I confess to the saints? St. Bonaventure explains, well, it's because we can't stand on our own merits, our neediness. And secondly, we confess to the saints because of their glory. Our Lord would have us glorify his friends this way. And lastly, because of the reverence due to Almighty God. They must accompany us. Always choose a friend or two when you go to God to put in a good word for you and to encourage you as you go about this important business. What saints do we confess to? To the sinless and to sinners. First of all, to the refuge of sinners, Immaculate Mary. She has no sin, but how close she is to us sinners. And then to the vanquisher of Satan, Blessed Michael the Archangel. And then to the sinless John the Baptist. He's the preacher of penance. And finally, I confess to sinners, to the blessed apostles, Peter and Paul, great sinners, but who confessed and who were forgiven. Confidence. The Confiteor is a good prayer to learn by heart, either in Latin, our altar boys, I pray, will remember it their whole life long, or in English. It comes in handy. It's a kind of a sacramental, you know. It inspires us, it prepares us for greater purity of heart, and thus are we moved to contrition, and our venial sins may by its means be absolved. After we confess comes another short prayer, and that's called the Misereator. Somebody says, "May Almighty God have mercy on you, and having forgiven you your sins, bring you to life everlasting." Somebody say, "Amen." That's a kind of thing you need to hear after admitting so publicly that you're a sinner. You should say this for the poor priest, who feels there at that moment the weight of his flesh and of his spirit upon him, holding him back just before he goes up to the altar of God. But unless you're there, unless you're with it, why, you wouldn't, would you? The missal. The second prayer is said only by the celebrant, and that's called the Indulgentiam, and he says it for himself and for everyone. It's a blended prayer for pardon, for absolution, and for remission of sins. And then you watch the priest, and if you're not busy singing the introit, it's a good thing at that point to make the sign of the cross, because the passion of Christ obtains the forgiveness we seek. What else? Well, by the time you get through with the priest's sins and your own, you probably will have run out of time. But if you need other pious thoughts to consider some days, the Confiteor, remember, used to be said in the sacristy or in procession on the way to the altar before Pope St. Pius V put it into its present place in the missal, and it will always be there, fixed. The Confiteor represents the advent of every Mass, standing for those 4,000 years of waiting for the Savior to come and preparing for the Messiah. There they were all those centuries, burning animals on the altar and doing a vague kind of a communion service we saw last week, and sending a goat off into the desert with everybody's sins upon its head. But always, priest and people both, always confessing their sins, this doesn't change. St. Vincent Ferrer says, Confiteor represents the circumcision of Christ. He, sinless, wished to appear a sinner, bound by the old law. The priest then bows low under the weight of sin, as St. Peter says today, "Be ye humbled, pressed down under the mighty hand of God." St. Francis de Sales says that the Confiteor stands for the agony in the garden. We can meditate upon that as well. Jesus Christ bent beneath the unbearable burden of the world's sins, prostrate in agony, sweating blood. He would have died had it not been for the angel. And think of it, in the Confiteor, all of the characters of the agony in the garden are present. Almighty God, the Mother of God, the angel, St. John the Baptist, he represents the innocent victims of sin. He was beheaded because the king was committing adultery. And then St. Peter, he slept through the prayer and woke up grumpy, I think, and surprised, and did the first thing that came to him, which was to slice off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And then he went on to deny Christ, and he got forgiven, as did St. Paul, who represents the great Jewish persecutions against Christianity. The agony is a mystery of weakness, as the Confiteor tells its story. Confess with confidence, your Confiteor rejoices the angels. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.